You're on Upfront with Refilwe. It is the open line, and I've asked a couple of questions here, one of which was, are you taking time off at all to watch Homecoming this evening, which is Beyoncé's Netflix film? Basically, it's a live documentary on the putting together of last year's Coachella performance, which was aptly named Beychella, at that festival, and all the background into how she actually put that show together. And there's always a murmuring when Beyoncé is about to drop something that perhaps we will get a new album. We haven't seen one since Lemonade. And this morning, she simultaneously dropped Homecoming, the live album, which is now available on streaming platforms. So the question was, are you excited? Are you taking the day off to watch? Someone says here, I'm not a massive fan, but would love to see Beyoncé perform live. Was lucky enough to see Gaga in Cape Town, and while I don't care for her, it was worth every cent. Still want to see the version of Queen with Adam Lambert. Wow, that's actually a great idea. Yeah, you must see a performance of Beyoncé live, even if you're not a fan. I just think she's a great performer. I've seen her in concert 5 times in various parts of the world, and she is absolutely fantastic, and she's become an even stronger performer over time and a consummate professional. If you recall, in 2007, I think, she fell down a flight of stairs at a performance in the United States and literally popped up like toast and carried on performing. It was quite impressive. This other WhatsApp saying, can't wait to watch Beyoncé tonight. I already took Monday off for Game of Thrones, so I can't take another chance. I think that's fair. 2 days off in 1 week for entertainment. We need you in our economy helping us out. Speaking of performances, a question here about what about the other Sam Smith concerts? Of course, Sam Smith was billed to perform last night, tonight, and tomorrow night. We still do not have, and that's at Grand West Grand Arena, we still haven't heard word from Big Concerts about what the development there will be. But as soon as we are apprised, we will let you know. Speaking of letting you know, as soon as we are apprised, Zane Johnson has let us know that due to two accidents on the N2 incoming and also a bus broken down on the hospital bend incoming, the travel time on the N2 incoming is 1 hour and 50 minutes. If you take the Heidefeld off-ramp and use Klipfontein Road as the alternative, it will take you 55 minutes into town via the M5. And if you cut across to the R300 from the N2, your travel time will be 55 minutes into town. Always looking out for you to get to work, those of you who aren't taking the day off for Beyoncé recovery or anything. I'm talking a lot about music today. Don't forget, on the 22nd of April, Andrea Bocelli will be performing. He is performing at Val d'Oie Estate. The concert is sold out. And of course, he is the world's biggest classical star. In a different way from Pavarotti, how Pavarotti was the biggest classical star. He's currently the biggest classical star, and lucky for you, even though it's sold out, we have 5 double tickets that we are giving away all week, every hour. And all you have to do is guess what song we are playing in the 1 second challenge. We'll play a 1 second snippet of the Andrea Bocelli song, and all you need to do is send us your name and the word Andrea to WhatsApp 072-567-1567. It is an easy way to score tickets worth over 4,000 rand. Here is that 1 second clip. Yeah, I totally got it. I'm sure you did too. Don't forget to send us the WhatsApp at some point during the hour. We will call you back if you are selected, and allow you to let us know what song that was. We are talking elections today, and Jason says, please ask the BLF and EFF if they envision that there will ever be a time when South Africa will have a white or Indian president in the future as they can see it. Jason, just so you know, it's not BLF, it's the Land Party. They're very different in their approaches. But to your point, I think that's an interesting question. Let's ask, especially after what we heard Ace Magashule say to our voters in Cape Town just the other day. So there's a voice note. I also asked you to think about what policy you would introduce. If you were given the opportunity to give just one change in policy, what would you tell? And it doesn't matter, by the way, if you are part of the party that wins or if you're, you know, if you don't like the party, if you had a magic wand and you had the right to give just one piece of policy to whoever gets into power after May 8th, what would it be? And here's a voice note on that.
Morning, everyone. It's Peter here. I would introduce direct democracy as the primary policy by which we live by. Every 2 months, we have a referendum, and the public get to vote on policies that they either want or do not want. I think this will be the single biggest changing factor in our country. I do know the Cape Party in the Western Cape is wanting to introduce this. It's perhaps something that we should actually be looking at. I think this is probably going to be the first step to turning this place around. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Ciao.
So I'm with the direct democracy debate. That's an interesting introduction of policy. Thanks for that contribution. Particularly because I think we're all getting increasingly frustrated with the fact that while we have the opportunity to vote for a party, we have no say in who that party puts forward. It lands us in this position where, you know, it could have been the people who had voted out the president as opposed to the NEC deciding that he needed to step down when we moved from President Zuma to President Ramaphosa. My only concern with this suggestion there is that every 2 months, I think creates a bit of policy or uncertainty or stability. Not to say we don't have instability. Not to say that we don't have policy uncertainty as it is. I completely concede that. But I think sometimes it's a nice idea to turn to private sector to consider, how continuity makes a difference to the implementation of plans. I can understand having a referendum where we vote. I get that. But if it's every 2 months and a new administration is selling you a new dream every 2 months to correct, say, one or two issues that happened in the previous 2 months, first of all, you never get a chance to see the plans play out. And secondly, I think you start getting a bit of whiplash, policy whiplash as a country. And that's kind of already an issue with 4 to 5 year cycles of politics, as most countries have. You know, if you've got effective policies, they kind of need a full, even business cycle, which is closer to 7 than 5 years, to actually play out and just demonstrate their worth. So, yes, I agree that we need to have more direct democracy. I'm not so sure about the timing that is suggested. However, continue to give me your ideas and we can debate these. I'm very curious to hear more, especially because you're going to be sitting in traffic a little longer. I'm really sorry. Due to the bus broken down, the M3 will now take you 50 minutes into town and the M5 will take you 45 minutes into town. All the more time to spend with me. Good morning. Democracy and the election, says this WhatsApp. When the apartheid government ruled, only certain people could vote. So a minority made decisions for the majority. Democracy, now we all can vote, but there is still a minority who is making decisions for the majority. Fair point. And that's exactly what that I think where we were alluding, what was being alluded to in that WhatsApp voice note, that, you know, direct democracy is possibly more appropriate. The policy that would be introduced has been given here, which I quite like. Free facilities focused on early childhood development of good quality. Yes. And I think I think what we're finding is that that's what government is trying to put in place. I know when we spoke to the Department, Western Cape Education Department, about 2 weeks ago, I think ECD or early child development was something that was on their radar. But I agree with you, of good quality. And I imagine you also want it to be accessible to all. Another idea here, my new policy, all elected officials, public servants, should have to use public services. Imagine how those services would improve. I mean, I wish I had the button for the applause. This is one of my views all the time. The biggest thing for me that is a concern is, and again, take the lesson from private sector, your contingent of staff needs to be aligned in its incentives. I cannot be incentivized to fix the public school system if my child goes to Hilton. I wouldn't be incentivized in the same way. And I think it's telling that we have so many public servants using private sector, say, healthcare, security. I mean, Busasa is a whole rage. It's a case study in not believing in your own police, in the fact that they had to get a whole bunch of security upgrades, and their own, education systems. And I think I've mentioned this before. This is not a South Africa only issue. I think we all are aware of how many of our African presidents, when they get sick, which is becoming a little bit too habitual, particularly in Nigeria, fly overseas to get help. I mean, it's not even as if they have faith in their domestic health systems. There's not even a Young Nepke or a Biki MediClinic. They fly all the way to Paris to have discussions with Parisian doctors, and sometimes are absent from their seats for a very long time, months at a time. President Buhari in Nigeria was away for a long time. Yaradua, who passed away, was also away for a long time. Now, I'm really liking these ideas that are coming through. Please do keep them coming. I'd be very curious to hear. One question he's saying, is the Land Party actually contesting these elections? So much hot air. I don't know. Find out at 11. Is it really hot air? I'm not sure I completely agree. So we will have the Land Party in studio at around 11, debating the EFF. If you have to go and read their manifesto, I think you'd find it's something a little bit different, from what you are suggesting. Whether or not they're able to implement it is a completely different story. I don't know, Regan, what are your thoughts? Do you think the Land Party is full of hot air?
I'm always uncomfortable when a party underlines everything on the issue of land. It rests on one thing, land. It's not the magic bullet. I'm sorry, guys.
No, I agree.
I hope they broaden their election manifesto.
Agreed. Well, let's hope to hear more. I think they have got some other ideas from what I've read, but I hear you. But Regan Thor is here for your EWN headline.
Hello, Cape Talk. This is Kevin calling from Bergfleet. One thing I think both parties need to address regardless of who wins, which they need to address regardless, is the whole land reform issue. But one clause should be added, that you have to prove you have an ancestor from that piece of land. You can't come from the Eastern Cape and expect to claim Stellenbosch as land reform.
Hello, the policy that I would like for the political party to implement if they win the elections or after the elections would be bring police down to local level, make it provincial. I think they will then be more hands-on if the provincial has charge or control over the police system, because currently it's national and it's not working out, because one police officer has to safeguard, so to say, 500 people, which is ridiculous. So that's why my policy and what I would like to see they implement is provincial policing. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those excellent contributions. Kevin, on land reform, you're right, which is a shame because I'd actually really like to get something in Bantry Bay. But you're absolutely right, and actually that's already been written into law. So the Land Claims Court was actually established in 1995, and it is based on the 1913 Land Act. Specifically, what it focuses on is that you, even from an ancestry perspective, because the 1913 Land Act was the actual promulgation of government taking land from people and handing it over from black people and handing it over to white people, or using it for its own use, that is legally seen as the policy that is being corrected by the Land Claims Court and has been doing. Okay, so in other words, generally you have to prove that your ancestors are from that land, either by title deed or if you weren't able to, other proof. I don't have the details on that. I can look it up on what other proof would look like. And B, it needs to be demonstrated that you lost your land as a result of the 1913 Land Claims Act. Land Act. And that's how the Land Claims Court has been doing it thus far. The struggle that we're facing now for in terms of this land reform is that I think nobody's really focusing us on how we're going to make that proof. And I don't know if people want to always go back to First Peoples, which is totally fine. I don't think there's an issue with that. There's no proof. There's no promulgated law, that is representative of, say, just warlike taking over your land that might have happened in the 1800s, for example. And I think that's the difficulty with having a law replacing it. And that's what makes it a bit messy. So, yes, looking forward to hearing that. I'm going to come back to the policing just now, but Eric in Rondebosch wants to tell us his policy. How are you?
Hi, Rafael.
Hey,
The policy I would like to change is that currently we have proportional representation.
Mm.
I'd rather go back to the old system we had of direct representation. If you had a problem, you could phone your MP, contact your MP directly. Yes. There was an MP for your area. At the moment, with proportional, there's no real representation. They're somewhere in Parliament.
Correct. And of course, that whole notion of collective accountability means that there's no person who actually takes personal. And therefore,
correct,
it's easy to sort of hide behind, you know, the party decided, not me. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Eric, okay. I appreciate that contribution. I think that that ties into actually the other voice note that we heard about local policing. Direct democracy is more of a national version of what we're saying, a national voting version, to the point that Eric is making, of what was being made in the point that was being made about policing. It is known and it has been proven that more localized governance tends to be more effective. You know, people kind of like to know the person who is representing them in the same way they'd like to, within their community in particular, in the same way that it's important for you to know your local constable, and know that the buck ends, the buck stops with him. Not that he'll say, well, somebody in Pretoria at SAPS says I can't help. It allows for accountability. It allows for coordination. And also, when you are representing your constituents or protecting your constituents in the case of the police, it's usually within a community that's close to you, be it provincial or be it the city, but you actually form a part of the community that you're fighting for in Parliament or that you're fighting to protect in the police. There's another thread here that's the same thing as, it's a very similar thing as wanting to see public servants use public services. Again, the incentives become aligned, right? There's a reason that we have incentive bonuses that align CEOs with the share price. Because as agents on behalf of shareholders, we want them to represent the needs of the shareholder. As shareholders in the country, I want my agent that I send to Parliament to have the same interests as I do. And as a user, a consumer of public education, a consumer of public health, a consumer of public protection from the police, if they aren't facing the same issues as I am, I can't see how they would be incentivized to look out for me in the same way that I need to be. So yeah, all of these points are fantastic, and I think they're highlighting how far we feel our political representatives are drifting from what the core populace and electorate actually wants in South Africa. Please keep them coming. I love it. Mike in Rondebosch says direct democracy has the ability to undermine provisions in the Constitution. Imagine the result of ordinary South Africans being able to vote on the death penalty or LGBTQA plus rights. Further, direct democracy hasn't worked too well for Britain with Brexit. It would be naive to think it would work to turn around South Africa. I still think that you can send a representative. This is not a case necessarily of South Africans voting on each policy. It's on making sure that your representative represents your constituency or the constituents appropriately. But I take this point, Mike. It's so terrible when you've got a very current example of things being a mess like Brexit, because it's difficult for me now to think of an example in the other direction where it's actually worked quite well. But I think the difficulty, yes, is that sometimes the society is not ready, for example, for LGBTIQ. And if we voted on the majority, we might not see a result that we would be happy with. Wandile in Khayelitsha says, I for one would like to see the policy where government will be enforced to ensure there is a job for every household. I couldn't contain the tears when I watched Cutting Edge a year ago and heard that a woman from Limpopo had to eat cow dung so that she could had something in her stomach before taking TB medication. We are hungry. We cannot get work despite possessing high qualifications. Thanks. Yo, I didn't know about that lady in Limpopo. That's hectic, Wandile. I, I hear you. I think the government's job is to create the environment for jobs. I don't know if it's to actually give jobs. So after the 2009 crash, or 2008-2009 Great Financial Crisis, you'll recall that government took it upon itself to just give jobs, right? So it was a counter-cyclical policy to sort of keep people employed and keep growth in the economy. They did start providing jobs in government, but the fact of the matter is that it wasn't efficient. They weren't all required. And what we now have is a bloated public service, many of whom are not necessarily delivering, and some whose increases in, well, very strong negotiators, or protesters at times, and their delivery, is being compensated with above inflation increases in wages. And this is a huge part of the increase in our debt in South Africa. So, opportunities for jobs, yes, but the country must be growing fast enough to be absorbed. Otherwise, it just becomes a cost base, a consumption spend, as opposed to an investment spend in your national accounts. But I absolutely empathize with that, the fact that we are hungry. We 100% are. I am going to read this one. It says, Refiler for President. I mean, I feel like I'm in high school. I was voted most likely. So, yes, please do vote for me. I'm just teasing. We were just talking about direct democracy with Mike from Rondebosch. There might be a different view. You've got another response on it right here.
Just a voice note for the show. Peter said direct democracy. I just wanted to point out that direct democracy got the UK Brexit, and then people suddenly realized what they were getting into and quickly changed their minds. Most people in South Africa, I think all of us in some way, shape or form, have a quite conservative mindset about things and would probably vote to overturn a lot of our constitutional elements. And so I think perhaps direct democracy is not the best way of going about things. But my vote would be for policy change that gives, that does education redress, and educational opportunities and a decent education for everybody in this country from pre-primary level to university and trade schools and whatever else people may want to be doing with their lives.
Thank you. That's a far more succinct, actually, response to Mike and a support of Mike's point. I appreciate that voice note. I get the idea. I get the point. That is a bit dangerous. Jonathan in Bellville, what is your policy?
Hey, how are you? I would just like to comment on the issue that you guys touched on about which policies we think as South Africans should be implemented by the party in government after the election.
Yes.
And I really think that when we look at all the stories that have been covered in the news about violence and xenophobic attacks over these past few weeks, I think that securing our borders should really be a priority to whoever is in government after the elections. Because, I mean, we have people really just crossing borders to go do shopping and steal cattle and stock and all of that. And that's just really unacceptable, and it just makes it so much more difficult for us as a country to actually know how to deal with certain issues when we don't even know who we're dealing with. So we really need to work on securing our borders in that sense.
So hang on, so are you suggesting that the cattle are stolen by people coming across the border?
Sorry, can you just repeat that?
That cattle are being stolen by people crossing the border?
Yes, in the Free State where you have people like stealing stock and all that. I read this in a newspaper article. And I mean, how does that even happen? I mean, how? that's really ridiculous. So we need to get a party in government that actually pushes for these things, because that's what's important. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I heard something about the DA actually pushing for this. And I mean, even if it's them, then we need to support this, because we sit with so much problems because of this issue. And at the end of the day, it's not about who the party is or what we think about them. It's about, will they do what the country needs?
For sure.
And this is what we need at this stage. And since it's the only party pushing for it, I'm definitely giving them my vote, because we really need to do something.
On your policy, Jonathan, I just want to push back here. I just want to highlight, this is not a response to xenophobia. This is xenophobic, what you're suggesting.
Yeah.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
That you're suggesting something very xenophobic. So the violence that you see in South Africa that's xenophobic is, there's a range of issues of self-hate amongst the black population. I understand that. But over and above that, because nobody is burning the tires of the Portuguese corner store owner and nobody is crashing down the German deli owner either, a house either. So there's a very clear issue with African and black yes. people who they feel are taking the opportunities. The first thing I just want to highlight, let me respond. The first thing I want to highlight is that economics is going to happen regardless, right? So you can have a border that's tight, but if opportunity is not in Zimbabwe, for example, or if opportunity is not in Malawi, first of all, you have a right by the UN's universal right. You have a right to seek opportunity in another country. I think securing borders is very different from easing the transition of people arriving, because just blocking people out, by the way, there's no point in having a fancy house in a bad neighborhood, right? And all that's going to happen is South Africa is going to start getting rated on what's happening in Southern Africa anyway, so it doesn't actually help us. But the people are stealing because there's a lack of opportunity, not because they crossed borders.
Yeah, but in that sense, I would say that the thing about securing the borders isn't necessarily to keep people out, but it's to know what we have in the country and so that we can actually go out and help these people.
Correct.
You know, so if they bring the experiences and the expertise that they don't have the opportunity to use in their country, then we can assist these people and actually push that forward so that we can even, in a sense where our own people feel like these people are threatening them, perhaps that's because our people don't have these skills, so we can get those people to actually exchange skills and all of that. So it's about knowing what we have in the country and how we can help those that can actually help us in a sense.
For
instead
sure.
Instead of having our people feeling threatened and trying to push these people out.
I think those are two separate issues, but your point is made. Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate that. Everybody should be running for a political role. Actually, I think rather than sit and chat about these things on radio, everybody's got some fantastic ideas. And I think you should send out your policies to be tested by the electorate.